Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we love you, and we trust you. Father, thank you for letting us be alive in these last days, and thank you for giving us eyes that see. Because if we weren't in your word on a regular basis, studying it, we would be quite fearful right now as to what's going on in the world. But you told us long in advance that this was going to be this way. So thank you for that perfect peace that was promised unto us for accepting your Son as Savior. Thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance, everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And thank you again for changing the showbread on Sabbath as you do each and every week. And we offer this praise and this prayer unto you in the name of your precious Son, our Savior and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of people are doing online church now, it seems. I've never seen numbers like this before. And the stream, the radio went over 90 people. The stream, I think I saw it at 80. So praise his name. And then the room, I don't know why it's only at about 57, but, you know, that's that click, I think. Everybody that likes using this, you know, the chat room thing, I guess. Anyway, we shut the... Maybe that's why they go on the stream, because you can't text during the sermons here. So, but that's okay, as long as it doesn't get distracting and it doesn't pull people away from, you know, the message, you know, because we can shut the stream. We can, shut the text off on the stream easy enough. Okay, again, it's Q&A Sabbath, as you know. Pretty obvious on the stream with that big old graphic I just put there. And we're on question number 412, and then we're going to finish with question number 413. I only have two this week because of how things went with the second question. But the first question is kind of quick. It's how long is a little season, you know, in prophecy, because the Bible talks about it. And the email or whatever it is I got, I don't know if it was a YouTube comment or an email, it says, "Hi, when the wicked are raised and Satan is loosed for a little season, and since there are four seasons in the world, would the time be around 120 years? I was asked this question. I know a day for a year is Ezekiel 4:6 and Numbers 14:34. Let me know if this is right. See you Sabbath tonight. God bless." Tonight. So that was someone that, you know, comes on Friday nights as well, you know, Sabbath Eve. Maybe that was an email. Anyway, my answer has to be, more or less, is there isn't a locked down definition for a season other than what we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, that when speaking of Moses, Paul says he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, we know Moses was 40 years old when he fled Egypt, as per Acts 7:23, which says, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. But the way Paul puts it, he is not saying the season would be only 40 years Moses was in Egypt, because had he chose to stay in Egypt and not murder that man, he would have been reveling in Egyptian sinfulness for much longer than 40 years, because Moses was 120 when he died. And so I have to conclude then that a season would equal an actual lifetime. When doing my Revelation symbol study some years ago, I looked at all 55 verses with the word season in it. And only Hebrews 11:25 gave a clear enough definition. But when it comes to the wicked raising to life again before being turned into ash in the strange act of our God, wherein hellfire destroys them all at the end of the 1,000 years. And yeah, if it's the first time you've ever heard that before in the stream, because your church teaches that God is a tyrant and he likes to have people burn in hellfire and scream at the top of their lungs for all eternity. No, that's the fruit of Satan. That's how he is. That's not how God is. At the end of the 1,000 years, if you don't make it into heaven, you will be turn into ash. I mean, literally says in the book of Malachi, I think it's chapter 4, verse 3, that you shall tread down the wicked, that they'll be ashes under the soles of your feet. Thank you, Sean. It's, yeah, he just put it in the room there. And so, but it says in Revelation 20, verse 3, that Satan and his followers will only live a little season before turning into ash, and so it's as many, it's any man's guess as to how long that is. I mean, I don't see a single Bible verse to define it or lock it down. I mean, basic reality is this. Since we, the obedient remnant people of God, have been already living in heaven for 1,000 years by this time, the wicked, you know, by the time they're raised up, the wicked are raised up, we will know exactly how long their little season would be, as studying the Word that long on a daily basis for 1,000 years is no doubt going to grant us quite a bit more wisdom than we could ever imagine here on earth, you know, because as many years as some of us have studied it, and not just read it like surface, scraping the surface stuff, no, studying it, yeah, it's going to be amazing. But still, after 1,000 years of Bible study, would we even care how long they live when they surround the city? What I mean is, they could lay siege to New Jerusalem, because that's how they've always done it, like in Nebuchadnezzar's day and all that stuff. So they're going to lay siege, right? They're going to surround the city of New Jerusalem. They could do it for 1,000,000 years, for all I care, and I still, it wouldn't bother me in the slightest, because after 1,000 years of Bible study and walking closely with Christ, the author of the Bible I'm studying, our understanding is going to be quite perfect. Even now, before we have all that study behind us, we know Satan, the demons, and all the wicked, they're just going to die when they decide to take a final, take a single step, rather, single step towards the city as a structured armed force against God. I mean, one step is all it would take for them to declare war, because our God knows their hearts and the reasons for taking the step. And so I'm sure that war will end in a mighty movement of the Father's hand before they can even take their second step. And think on it this way. As we saw when Pharaoh's men died in the Red Sea, the billions of lost souls that surround the city, because everybody from Cain to Hitler are going to be surrounding that city when that happens, and especially the wicked people of today. They're all going to be surrounded. There's billions. We got 8 billion people almost on the planet now. Just go back a few years. There's going to be a lot of people surrounding the city. And so according to Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 again, that says our Lord declared through his prophet, Malachi, thousands of years ago, that ye, and he's talking to us, ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And so all those preachers out there that are saying that you're going to scream for all eternity in hellfire, I got a page on the website all about hellfire, and there's a lot of verses they purposely don't show their people so as to keep them in the pews with fear. And if you don't think fear works, explain what they're doing right now with the coronavirus. If you haven't been studying your Bible, you're going to be a little fearful with what you're seeing. But if you study your Bible, go, oh, wow, praise the Lord, he's coming soon, because that stuff they're doing right now is exactly what they need to do to enforce the mark. All they're doing now is making sure they got all their ducks in a row, because if they didn't have something like coronavirus to flood the media with, moving all those tanks around in the USA alone would have made a lot of people pretty angry. But now everybody thinks, oh, they're doing it to help us, because they all fell for it. I mean, seriously, look at the stats on the coronavirus, and look at the stats on regular influenza. Regular influenza has already killed 23,000 people so far, as of March 5th. Was it like 1,200 people have died so far of corona? It's minuscule. They even had an article out there saying the death rate for coronavirus is jaw-droppingly low. Even if it's manufactured, it's crazy low. So, next question. Can you explain why Jesus healed the blind man twice? Remember that one? The email says, I was reading in the book of Mark today and came across where Jesus healed a blind man, but he had to lay his hands on him twice for him to be totally healed. The man could see, but he saw people as if they were trees. Why is this? All right, well, the verse in question here is, let me get it. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 and to 25. Mark 8, verses 22 to 25. It says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. You know, it was a natural healing here, using the saliva or whatever. And he looked up and said, "Well, I see men as trees walking," because trees don't ordinarily walk, right? So he had to mention that part. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. What we see happening here, now some may disagree with me on this, but hey, this is just my personal opinion on this one point that I'm going to make, is what I see happening is what I believe to be a miracle that can only be understood in our day, in the end of days. Not only scriptural, but scientific knowledge is going to be increased, as the prophet Daniel said, in the last days, right? And so I believe the second half of this, you know, the second time he put hands on this man, was for the benefit of our generation. That's how much he loves us. And let me explain. Jesus did many miracles when he visited us 2,000 years ago. But even though, to the people looking on who saw Jesus lay hands on this man twice, the Word of God doesn't say that they raised any kind of concern regarding all this, as I'm sure most in the crowd with faith simply trusted Jesus and all his actions as being done for a reason. I mean, even the apostles showed by their many questions that they could not understand everything Jesus did or even said right off each and every time. But again, remember how many times he had to explain parables to them. But still, I believe this particular miracle was for the scoffer in the last days, and especially for those with scientific background, and especially those in the medical field, wherein today we see many with no faith whatsoever. And when you say, you know, like you know, these doctors, and when you say Jesus healed your loved one or Jesus healed you after prayer, some of these doctors get upset and say, no, I did all that. You know, come on, you know, you'd be dead if it wasn't for me. You know? When we read about this amazing miracle, I'm sure most just continued reading without giving it a second thought as to what happened on that day, you know, 2,000 years ago. They saw nothing out of the ordinary as to why the man had to be healed twice, but someone with the understanding of a mapped human brain would see something no one would have even contemplated 2,000 years ago. I believe this miracle is for them to gain faith in Christ. Even today, 2,000 years later, he's still preaching. Science recently proved that if a man is born blind and receives his sight later on in life by a surgical procedure or by some other means, like a blow to the head, the things that the man looks at for the first time ever are going to be totally misunderstood for the most part, because he has been accustomed to rely only on sound and touch, or even smell for that matter, in his, you know, his entire life up to that point. And it would be like us, you know, receiving what do we got, 6 senses, right? If you're psychic, you know, that's ridiculous, I know. But I think they say 6th sense. We have 6 senses. Let's say we all of a sudden were given a 7th sense. And at first, we have no clue on how the process or the information is coming onto us or granted by that new ability. We're, we're just at awe of it. Like this man born blind all of a sudden can see, right? That is why the man thought the people were trees when Jesus healed him. Reason being is, the blind man knew about trees by simply hugging and touching them so as to learn of their structure and even their smell, just as sighted people will look at a tree, you know, with their eyes when they see it in life. You know, just we use the tools we have. And we can simply look at the trees. The blind man would have to, of course, feel the different types of bark, and in so doing would probably be able to identify any tree he came to by simply touching it, in the same way we can identify any tree by simply looking at it. This is something people with eyesight would have a hard time doing, though. Seriously, try it. what a blind man does. Next time you're in the woods, close your eyes and touch a tree and even smell it. You know, go that far. Can you identify the tree right off? I don't think so. A blind man probably could. And so, of course, after investigating the tree, he would see that it was upright, like a huge stick sticking out of the earth, as trees are. And so when he saw the people, after being given his sight, and he saw them all standing around him, you know, he simply described them as being upright, like a tree. But he mentioned the thing walking, because trees more or less stay there, because that's all he knew. But now, jump 2,000 years later, in our day. And we see that science has also proven that in most cases, the mind of a man born blind must also be healed if the eyes are suddenly healed after decades of blindness. Because the eyes are not able to relay the necessary information to the brain to help the man, you know, understand what he's looking at right off. In fact, it could take months and even years to adjust to figure out what he's looking at. Hence, people will simply look like trees to him because the blind man knows a tree is tall and upright. And I know this is a scientific fact because, as most of you know, I have always been interested in science and such. And in this case, I recall an article I read as a young man of a man who was healed by a scientist that was born blind because of a defect in the optic nerve that, thanks to advances in medical science, it allowed the doctor to repair the defect later in his life. I think the guy was in his 40s or something. Problem is, like the adult man that was healed by Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 8, he too could see clearly all of a sudden, but he could not understand what he was looking at. In fact, he not only had to learn what each thing was that he saw by touching them, you know, like the inanimate objects, he had to be repeatedly reminded as to what it was he was touching each time he saw it, because even though he could see, his brain never used that area in the mind before to store things into memory like we do, because his eyes never worked before. So that area of the brain was never fixed, was never even used. It went probably atrophied, if you will. Worse yet, when it came to people he knew his entire life, and when I read this, I was like shocked. When he saw them with his eyes, well, they were complete strangers to him each and every time he saw them, until they spoke. When they spoke, he knew them, because the area of the brain that his ears used to store the memories that he's had his whole life was well trained by now. And so when he heard this familiar voice, or even a song for that matter, that he haven't heard in years, you know, like we can, he would then recognize the person as long as they would say something, because he knew the voice. Even looking at trees was difficult for him until he was able to touch them to know, well, that's a tree. Okay? Now, I don't recall how long the man took to finally get used to seeing things and you know, train his brain to, you know, remember the things he's looking at. So I really don't know. Or even how long it finally to identify his own wife. This is the part that shocked me, because the article did say that each time his wife came into the room over the course of, I think that he was in the hospital like a week or two, every time she came into the room, she had to talk. Otherwise, he wouldn't know who she was, because he still didn't store her facial image in his memory, because that part just didn't work. It never was used before via the optic nerve. It was used via the audio, the ears. And so when she spoke, boom, memory comes back. Oh, yeah, hi, honey, what you doing? And so the mind of the man was never healed by science. They only healed his ability to see. Contemplation had to be healed as well, but his brain never used that area before because the optic nerve was not functioning properly. And so, with all that said, that is why I believe Jesus healed the man twice to show those standing by he was Messiah. But knowing the end from the beginning, as we know Jesus does, he also healed the man's mind so as to introduce himself as Messiah, Lord, Creator, Healer, and God to the scientist who would read his word 2,000 years later, when the technology finally came to society wherein they have mapped the human brain so as to know what area of the brain does what. That's why we now know like when it comes to the mapping of the human brain. Oh, and by the way, before I go there, if you don't think they've mapped the human brain, they're actually, I think you can get these games on Amazon, but you can buy a game now, and it's not so much, it's not a video, well, maybe they did do it with video games, but I remember seeing a ping pong ball inside of a tube, and it was like a little fan underneath, and you put this thing on your head, because they map the human brain, and they know where certain thoughts were located, because there's frequencies, and yeah, that has to do with 5G thing too. You know, you can crank up the 5G and get deathly ill, but they turn it down a little bit, everybody's fine, the internet works great. But, so anyway, they know the frequencies of the human brain. And so, just like what they did in Iraq when, not in Iraq, it was, you remember when that, one of our ships, I don't know if it was an aircraft, I think it was an aircraft carrier now that I think about it, it was in Yemen, that's where it was. And they went up and they got alongside the boat and they just blew up their boat and it caused the deck, you know, a big hole in it, and it pushed the decks together and crushed a bunch of our guys. Well, these guys were coming close to the boat one time. This was years ago. I remember reading about this, and they were being warned by the guys on the aircraft carrier, you better back off, we're going to blow you out of the water, and they weren't listening because the guys couldn't understand English. I think it was a fishing vessel or something like that. And so what our admiral, right? An admiral on the, instead of a general, they call them admirals in the Navy. He suggested to use a different method to communicate with them. And using Iranian or whatever language they had, that's right, they didn't have a radio. That's what it was. They didn't have a radio. So they told them in their own brains, you better back off. They literally put their voices into their brains using their cranial, you know, just using the human frequency of hearing things, right? And so this game, you can buy these games now where you can just set it down and you can, just by using your mind, make the ball go up and down. I don't know how much different those games have been since I never looked into it, because I remember that first one and I read up about it. And then I remember that reminded me of what I heard about what went down in that aircraft carrier. And so, getting back, that mapping of the human brain has also granted us, the remnant people, even more ways to help people understand how the mark is placed in the forehead. So I guess I'll share this now instead of later on. After mapping the human brain, they found the forehead, the frontal lobe, is the area of the brain we use to make decisions. And so it makes it that much easier for us to explain that when someone willfully embraces the Sunday Sabbath as the true Sabbath, even after the loud cry, you know, because when the loud cry goes forth, that message we put forth overwhelmingly proves the Sunday Sabbath. It's right there in the prophecy. They're not going to have any doubt whatsoever that what we're telling them is the truth. The Sunday Sabbath is not the Sabbath of the God, of the Christian God. It's the seventh-day Sabbath. And if they willfully ignore that, knowing the truth here, because you can't lie to God. You can lie to yourself. You can lie to the people and say, oh, I don't understand. No, the Lord knows you understood that. He knows you understood it. And if you choose Sunday anyway for, you know, whatever reason, that person receives the mark in their forehead because that's where they made the conscious decision to worship or obey the creature over and above the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And the creature in this case is twofold. You got the man of sin in Rome, who's moved by the other creature, Satan, because he's a created being. He's an angel. Fallen, but he's still an angel. And so they worship the creature over and above the Creator. And so they receive the mark in the forehead. And then when it comes to the hand, you just look that one up. You'll see it also in do a study and find out what the hand means in prophecy. And it means your ability to work or buy and sell, if you will. And so the people that don't agree with Sunday being the Sabbath, like Sabbath keepers and stuff like that, or people that understand Scripture, and they don't believe in it, or let's even say they're atheists, they don't care either way, they don't believe Sunday's the Sabbath. They won't make a conscious decision in their mind, but they will accept the mark because they don't want to lose their job or their ability to buy candy bars and cars. And so that will be how they get it in the right hand. But it doesn't end there at all either. Knowing our Lord and the simple truth as well as the complexity of it at the same time, I see yet another reason the man was healed twice. You know, like the blind and the lost souls to the truth, Christ has to offer that, that walk among us, the truth that Christ has to offer for the people that walk among us on this sinful world, that are right now in sin. If they would just seek out Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He will not only heal their spiritual blindness, He will heal their mind. He'll give them an understanding of His in-depth truth. For it is plainly written in 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Or worse yet, some hear the truth as we proclaim it, okay, and then they forget all about it like it's no big deal. In fact, they too are mentioned in the Word of God. Notice what it says in James chapter 1 verses 23 and 24. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, in other words, he knows he's a sinner, he knows he broke those commandments, right? And goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. I'm not that bad, He forgets what he was just shown about himself. He forgets he was just told in the scriptures that he's a sinner and he needs a Savior. Completely forgets it. He reads the word, he sees the law, and realizes it, proves he is a sinner and he's in need of a Savior. But he chooses not to be a doer of the word, and because of that decision, he soon forgets all he read, because as also promised in the word, the Lord will not force himself on anybody. And he also gives all of mankind free will to do as they please. I mean, seriously, the flames of hellfire, they are reserved for Satan. We have mansions reserved for us. But mankind allows Satan to move them ever since Eve believed the lie. Just like a third of heaven fell. Lies were never spoken before until Satan started doing it. And so the angels, they fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Most anyone can see what Jesus does to this day in the lives of the people around them, or even read what he did 2,000 years ago, as anyone can read a Bible, obviously. So, but this man, he reads the word. He knows he realizes a Savior. He chooses not to be a doer, and then he forgets. But how do I explain? Because only those blessed by Jesus to the core or heart or the mind, for that matter, only those of us that study His Word and really accepted Him as Lord and Savior. I mean, the true meaning of the word Lord, we do as He says to do. We're doers of the Word. We are the only ones that can truly understand what we're seeing here. Anyone can see Jesus with fleshly eyes, but only those that love Him are going to be able to see His love and the amazing gift of salvation that He offers. Isaiah 33, verse 17, for example. Isaiah 33, 17 says, "Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. They shall behold the Lamb that is very far off." Yeah, we're going to see it. We're going to stand in it. Golden bricks are going to be our pavement. I mean, Jesus also said to His disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 23. Luke 10, verse 23. "Blessed are the eyes which see these things that ye see." And we all know what He meant when He said this in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 15. We all knew what He meant when He said this. He said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." Kind of sounds like an echo of Isaiah 4:1, doesn't it? But in a different way of saying it, but it's still more or less this, the end result is the same. "People's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." They made it just that they closed their eyes. And then why? Well, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. This passage always reminds me of John 12, verses 37 to 41. Always. Every time I read Luke 10:23, it brings to mind John 12, verses 37 to 41, wherein we read this. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And when the loud cry goes forth, his hand's going to be revealed to everybody, all 8 billion of them out there. Right? Every single side. Yeah, we got a lot of work to do, but it doesn't matter. He's going to help us do it, just like it went down in the midnight cry. Same way, too. No denominations are going to be going. There was no church during the midnight cry. No structured church that went out there that did that work. Just the obedient people, the remnant people went forward and did that. People of that, you know, the remnant of that time. And just like today, same thing. So verse 39, therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. And don't think that the Lord does this on purpose. It's just like when Pharaoh and Moses, I always bring this up. You take a lump of clay and a lump of wax and you put them out in the sunlight, and what happens? The sunlight melts the wax and hardens the clay. Well, now look at God's love. You take that love and you send it to Moses and you send it to Pharaoh. Same love, just like the same sunlight. Two different effects with the same sunlight. Two different effects with God's love. And so when he said that he hardened Pharaoh's heart, it was because he sent the same love to Pharaoh that he sent to Moses. The only difference was it melted Moses' heart. It hardened Pharaoh's heart. And so the Lord took the blame on that, which is fine, because it was reality. It was truth. He wanted to love him, but that love angered him. Just like we see today. You go out there in the world and you tell somebody you're Christian, yeah, it doesn't go good sometimes. But many Christians today only read the Bible on the surface, and they never study it. They seek only to scrape the surface of the word, which means they build their house on the earth, or sand, as Jesus put it in that parable. But those that dig deep in his word, they dig down to the rock, like what we call bedrock. They dig down to that rock, capital R rock, and you know, the foundation. That's where they set their house, and then it stands firm when those trials come. You know, and to these poor souls that build their houses on sand, the word of God makes no sense to them, just like the healed blind man, who can see clearly but cannot understand what it is he's reading, let's say. They need to touch Jesus and his word to truly know him, like the healed man needs to touch the tree to identify the tree to his mind. When the people reach out to touch Christ, their touch will find them healed. Like the woman with the issue of blood, for example, for, you know, 12 years in Luke chapter 8. That woman was healed by merely touching the garment of Christ in faith. And what does the garment mean in prophecy? Well, your walk, right? And Christ's walk. There's the walk you want to emulate. And so the moment she decided to follow Christ and make him his true Lord and emulate his walk, she was healed. Right there, instantly. And by the way, look around today. And you will find, this is just so amazing, look around today and you're going to find millions upon millions of people with an issue in their blood like she had. Today, even. And all of them can be simply healed by reaching out to touch Christ's garment. You know, follow his walk. And just so you know, an issue in the blood can be found in everything from immune system disorders that attack the blood to sickle cell anemia or even leukemia. I mean, there's a whole list of this stuff I looked up online last night. I says, wow, there is a lot of things that can happen in the blood. The Bible doesn't specifically identify her blood disorder other than just to say it was healed or stanched, it said, stopped. You know. So, in prophecy, the garment is our walk. I'll close with this. The garment is our walk, and the Word of God is an in-depth description of his walk. And so I say, don't just read your Bible. Don't just scrape it. You need to touch it. And don't just pray and walk away like that man that forgets what manner of man he was. Be patient and wait on the Lord and listen closely so as to hear his voice, and then you will better understand who he is as the blind man who was healed later in life, who only knew his wife after hearing her voice. We must look upon the Lord and his word, hear with our minds, and believe with our hearts. And yes, the heart is also where the blood resides. No mistake. The Lord walked in an area in that town wherein he knew a woman who had an issue of blood would be, to use that as an example. I mean, this is one of the things we're going to really dig deep into when we get into eternity and really start, finding thy words and eating them, as Jeremiah said. Really study the scripture. Because you look in here and you see these things. It's Jesus did everything for a reason. There was a reason for every little thing. And when we get to heaven, you're going to find out, wow, even that little minuscule thing that you did, boy, it just spoke volumes. That's why the apostle said you couldn't contain, this earth could not contain everything that Jesus did in books. The world, there would not be enough room on the planet to write about everything that he did in just that 3.5 years. I mean, look at Revelation, for example. Pictorial language. It's only 22 chapters. And I didn't even cover every single solitary definition of every symbol. I covered every symbol, but some of the symbols are defined so many times in the scripture with the same definition, I just would get 3 or 4 definitions and I would just go dot, 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 etc., like that. But it took me 327, 8.5 by 11 pages of notes to identify every symbol in just a 22-chapter book. And it's on the site, by the way. Free to download. I don't charge for anything. And so Jesus knew that that woman with an issue of blood, who we know in prophecy also means church, a woman in the prophecy means a church, he knew she would reach out to him to be healed. Just like we did as the remnant people, the remnant of her seed. We reached out to be healed and he healed us, gave us utterance, gave us understanding. Now we know, And so I ask everyone today, the bride of Christ herself, you are that woman. And so reach out to Christ. Be healed all the way to the heart. And then go forth and declare what he has done for you so that many poor souls living in fear in these trying days right now can find the peace and calmness of the heart that we all have right now. Like the woman that came to my house yesterday to drop some stuff off, scared out of her wits because of what's going on out there in the world with this fake pandemic. It's not even an epidemic. Can't even be an epidemic. 7.7% is where you say the word epidemic. Your population has to have at least 7.7% of its people infected to declare epidemic. That would mean 27 million people in America would have to be infected with this so-called virus. And how many they're saying now? 80,000 or something like that? It's all political theater. And it's scaring the daylights out of everybody. Why? Well, look at that one prophecy. In the last days, men's hearts will be failing them for fear of what's coming on the world. That, too, is being fulfilled right before everybody's eyes. But if you study your Bible, you have perfect peace. Doesn't bother you at all. Now, sure, you might have a little bit of stress because you're concerned for your loved ones that don't see what you see. They're getting all scared because they don't realize what's going on. It's like that old analogy I always like to use, the two guys walking down the road. It's in one of my videos my son Luke made for me that he literally mirrored the screen. It just came out perfect. Where you got two men walking down a road. They're twins, let's say. They both have 3 kids. And they're both living in the same time in history at the end of the world. So, one of them, and they hear that, the economy's crashing, the world's coming to an end, everything's going crazy, calamities and climate change going nuts, all these lies about climate change too, because there is a change in the climate. That's only because Jesus Christ is coming back. That prophecy said all these things are supposed to happen right before he gets here. But to hide it, they call it climate change. The devil's going to take advantage of all the signs of the end because no one reads their Bibles. If they don't read their Bibles, they don't know these are all the signs of the end. So he's going to go, oh, yippee. They don't read their Bibles, and the ones they do read, he's removed thousands of verses from those Bibles, and so he gets them to believe anything he wants. And so since they don't study it up, they don't know that these are the signs that Christ is coming. I mean, look at all the dead animals, birds, the insects, and the fish. Hosea chapter 4, I think it is, predicted that's exactly what's going to happen with all this natural lives dropping, the animals, the birds, and the insects. They're all going to be dying right before he gets here. But in order to keep the people calm, make them think that peace and safety thing. Make them think everything's okay. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. It's just climate change, and we could fix it. But we're going to have to all get together and agree to fix it. And that's how the devil's going to take advantage of all this. And how do you suppose they're going to do it? They're going to say, well, the only way, and look at the mark of the beast in Scripture. Look at it in Revelation. The only time you, or every time you see the word mark mentioned, or the image of, the, or the number of his name or whatever, the not the number, but the every time the word mark is mentioned in the prophecies, the word worship is right there with it. It's a religious law. Just like it was a religious law in Daniel's day, Esther's day, Shadrach's day, Abednego's day, and the other guy. But you know what I mean. Esther's day. Yeah. I mean, look at the book of Esther. We're going to go through that. Exactly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, those are the guys. And so it was always a religious law because it's always Satan attacking the law of God, you know, of the land in heaven, at New Jerusalem. That's his kingdom. He wants to defeat that kingdom. And he knows he can't defeat it. He knows he can't destroy New Jerusalem. He can't do it because the law that's contained in stone for permanence is not only in the Ark of the Covenant, where he can't get to. The mercy seat that closes the Ark is where the Lord sits. That's the throne of the Father. So the only way to get at that is to kill the Lord, and he can't do it. So guess what his better option is? Get us to believe the lie instead. He can't change the law, so he can make us think it's changed. Changing times and laws. Remember what Daniel said? Not only did they change that, they changed the calendars in the Gregorian thing. So anyway, I don't want to go any further with this. Well, we can discuss things later. But if you can kneel. Oh, no, wait. We got some music here. So I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared. I'll be back in a minute.